Good afternoon. Welcome to Senate Finance. Today is Wednesday, April 11, 2018. The time is 1:52 p.m. If you're joining us off-net or online, we're in Juneau, Alaska, the state capitol, room 532, Senate Finance. I'm co-chairman Anna McKinnon. With me this afternoon, co-chairman Hoffman.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Vice Chairman Bishop.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Machicki.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Von Imhoff. Good afternoon. Senator Olson.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Stevens.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
We are at full complement, and I appreciate all of the time that the senators dedicate to Senate Finance. I know that there are other things happening in the building at this late date in session. On this afternoon's agenda is HB 215, Public Health Fees. I'd like to invite Senator Stephen is on the floor of the House, so he is unable to be with us at this time. I'd like to invite his staff, Elizabeth Diamond, to the table, staff to Representative Seaton, as well as Jill Lewis, Deputy Director of the Division of Public Health. Welcome to Senate Finance. Brief at ease. We're back on the record. Senator Bishop, members of the Finance Committee, it takes a team to move anything around this building, as well as two individual legislative, it takes the House and the Senate. That might be inappropriate to say right now. I apologize. Elizabeth, staff to Representative Seaton. Please, if you would introduce yourself for the record. If you could give us a high overview of the bill, and then we'll walk through a sectional as far as the mechanics of the bill before us.
Sure. For the record, my name is Elizabeth Diamond, staff to Representative Seaton, but a proud constituent of Senator Stevens. HB 215, Public Health Fees, is a House Finance Committee-sponsored bill, and it came out of last session's DHSS, Department of Health and Social Services, subcommittee process. So during that process, public health was identified as a division that could be charging additional fees to help sustain its mission. And its constitutional mission is protecting and promoting the health of Alaskans. Currently, the Department of Health and Social Services does charge for some public health services. However, the department is limited and can only charge for what is listed in statute AS44-29022A. And these lists of duties that are currently fee eligible are mostly clinical in nature and user fees, they include things like maternal and child health services, nutrition services, preventive medical health services. The Division of Public Health lacks fee authority for other services, mainly administrative and professional services. HB 215 would amend AS44-29022 to grant the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services the authority to establish reasonable fees for the support of administration of public health programs. Specifically, it gives statutory authority to the department to charge fees for any public health-related services under AS 18, as well as tobacco control programs under AS 44-29022. This bill also adds the fees created to the list of program receipts accounted for separately under AS 3705-146C, making clear that those fees are intended to be used to support public health operations. HB 215 allows the department to decide what fees it will establish through regulation and a public process. Fees already must be in the public interest and economically feasible to collect and cannot undermine the division's mission. Fees are limited to the actual cost of services, and a new regulation would be required for each new fee. I feel that in the current fiscal environment, it is the House Finance Committee's intention that it's very important for every agency to look for efficiencies and ways to reduce dependence on UGF, unrestricted general funds. Both bodies included intent language in fiscal year 16 and again in 17, budgets that the Division of Public Health charged for services. Allowing this flexibility to the department will help cover costs associated with maintaining public health that will benefit all Alaskans. So with the chair's permission, I'd like to just go through the sectional briefly.
Well, Elizabeth, could we pause and see if there's sections with or questions on the
sure.
intent? Are there questions from committee members on the intent of the bill? Elizabeth, I have one, and that is, as we collect the fees in support of public health services, Can you assure the committee that through the regulation process, and I will ask Jill, Ms. Lewis, the same question, that it's going to go for public health versus the Medicaid program? And the reason why I'm asking that is that public health is sometimes shadowed by the largest cost driver in the department, Medicaid services. And as we've transitioned through technology changes and different software-supported systems, again, everything is, from an outside perspective, being overshadowed by the Medicaid service area. So I just, if you have a perspective on where these fees would be spent, that would be helpful if it was supporting public health.
Madam Chair, I can take a stab at it here, but obviously it goes into a list of designated program receipts, but there are no dedicated funds, and the power of appropriation always does exist, but it is the intent of the committee and the legislation that these are fees that would pay for the services that they are actually provided.
Thank you.
And if Ms. Lewis has any comments.
Thank you. If we could get to Senator Bishop first.
Oh, no.
Ms. Lewis, your name for the record.
Thank you very much. I'm Jill Lewis, Deputy Director for the Division of Public Health. Ms. Diamond is correct. By putting the fees listed into the list of designated program receipts in statute, it really clarifies the intent of the legislature that the fees are used for the services that generated those fees. And that would be our intent. They will support the specific program that generates those fees.
Thank you. Is there something we should consider inside of the language that would bolster that particular sentiment? So that I understand we can't dedicate funds, but is there anything in the language portion of the bill? And I don't need that right now, but. If you could think about that, again, at least from my particular perspective, I would like the money to go to support, as you've said, Ms. Lewis, the areas in which the funds are being generated from, or, again, overall public health. Senator Bishop.
We're not going to are we covering the fiscal note today, or is that next hearing, ma'am?
We will cover it today, but I'm going to ask the department to cover it because it's revenue going in and estimations, and so we'll have the department actually walk through that, if that's all right, Senator
Sure,
Bishop.
Sure. I just cut to the chase, and that answered a lot of my questions already, just reading the fiscal notice, what she was explaining, where the money would go. So thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Diamond, please, at the sectional analysis, please.
Sure, Madam Chair and committee. Section 1 of the bill adds a new paragraph 90 to the list in AS 3705146C, which is that list of designated general program fund receipts. And paragraph 90 does two things. It consolidates all of the current public health fees listed in AS 3705146C that are collected by the Department of Health and Social Services into one subsection. And this was kind of a legal cleanup that LegLegal wanted for the statute, just to make it clear that consolidating it under one paragraph. So below that, you can see there is a chart of the lists from program receipts numbers, what they were and what they would become under paragraph 90. Paragraph 90 has a second part to it, and it adds the language in subsection 90E, other public health programs and services. And that will refer to the new services that would be put into regulation by this legislation. Section 2 adds to AS 4429020A14, adds that statute to the list of, to the statute where HES can establish reasonable fees for. So that was the statute mentioned earlier. And it also adds the same notice, other public health related services under AS 18 to that same statute. Section 3 would add a new subsection to AS 4429022, requiring the Commissioner of Health and Social Services to consult with stakeholders, including at least one public meeting before a notice of proposed action is made regarding the development of new fees under this legislation. And Section 4 is the repealer section, and it repeals the statutes that have all been consolidated under subsection 90 and Section 1 of this bill. And with that, I'm open to questions, Madam Chair.
Ms. Diamond, is there a reason that you don't have an effective date? You don't need one at a particular point in time?
No, there's no fiscal year impact for fiscal year 19 because it would take some time for the regulations to go into effect. So we would presume that this would go effect into fiscal year 19. So there is no need for an effective date.
Thank you. Are there questions from committee members for the carrier of the bill? Senator Von Imhoff?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do see that there's a presentation overhead, so I'm assuming we're going through the presentation, and so I can ask my question after that. Thank you.
Absolutely. Are we ready for the presentation? If so, Ms. Lewis, please proceed.
Thank you very much. Again, for the record, I am Jill Lewis, Deputy Director for the Division of Public Health. The Division of Public Health focuses on services that protect and improve the public's health status through programs that address the health of every Alaskan and community. Public health services control infectious diseases, prevent chronic diseases and injuries, promote healthy lifestyles, and protect maternal and child health. House Bill 215 is needed to allow the Division of Public Health to increase and diversify our revenue opportunities, ensuring the means to support public health operations and reduce our reliance on general funds. The widening gap between public health costs and state general funds jeopardizes our ability to provide services that protect Alaskans from preventable injuries, illness, and death. One of the obstacles we face is that currently we're not able to charge fees for all the public health services we provide because the list for which fees are allowed is limited. The list of public health-related duties for which fees are allowed is limited to maternal and child health, preventive medical services, public health nursing, nutrition, health education, and public health laboratory services. But these are only just a few of the services that we provide. Some of you may recall that in the past, both the House and Senate have indicated support for public health becoming more self-sufficient and fee-based. In fiscal year 2016 and 2017 budgets, intent language was included that the Division of Public Health evaluate and implement strategies to maximize billable services. And if you recall, the legislative audit's so-called House Bill 30 performance review of the department a few years ago, it also included similar recommendations. As you can see from the graph on the slide number 3, our budget already includes nearly $7 million in general fund program receipts, makes up about 6% of our total revenue. These receipts come from individuals who pay for the clinical services that we saw listed on the slide before. These are the things like laboratory tests or well child exams, health screenings, health clinics for children who need to see specialists. Will these new fees that are authorized by this bill be substantial enough to fund all our public health operations? Well, probably not. The proportion of cost that will be covered is only an estimated $600,000 in additional fees, which is pretty small compared to our overall budget. While the additional fee authority may not generate enough revenue for us to fully offset our costs, it will reduce our dependence on other funds, and we think it's a step in the right direction. Examples of the public health services and functions that currently lack the authority include administrative functions and our professional services, things like data extraction and analysis, being able to do training, expert consultation, inspections, certifications, and administration of certain programs. This is where our opportunity lies. Budget cuts have forced us to eliminate some services that the industry and the public are asking us to provide. Currently, we aren't able to meet that demand, but with House Bill 215, we would be able to collect reasonable fees from organizations, communities, and facilities to support these essential public health services. So, we talk about reasonable fees and setting a reasonable amount. There's a number of sideboards already in law that ensure that the fees that we set are going to be reasonable. Our rates are limited to the actual cost of providing the service. We would establish new fees only when the cost benefit is clear. In other words, only when it's in the public interest and economical to do so, and most significantly, does not undermine our public health mission to protect and promote the health of Alaskans. We do not deny services to individuals because of the inability to pay. We employ a system of sliding fee scales and waivers to ensure that the fees are applied equitably. Generally, the fees we're proposing are optional. In other words, if a community or an organization didn't want to use our services or prefer to use a private vendor, then they wouldn't need to pay the fee. To implement fees, we will reach out to our stakeholders from the beginning in a series of public meetings leading up to separate regulations for each fee, allowing the public and stakeholders ample opportunity to provide input. That's important because the stakeholders for radiologic device inspections would not be the same as for community health assessments. Collaborating with the public and with stakeholders will help us determine what a reasonable fee is and how to balance the burden on the stakeholders with the reality that we face that public health does not mean free health service. We understand that no one really wants to pay fees, but we have to face the fact that in our current fiscal environment, that widening gap between public health costs and state general funds jeopardizes our ability to provide services that protect Alaskans from the preventable causes of illness, injury, and death. House Bill 215 is needed to allow the Division of Public Health the means to support public health operations and reduce reliance on general funds. Fees will support activities that help communities be healthy, keep Alaskans safe, make available important data that decision makers need, and provide access to primary care in rural areas. I'll stop there. I'm happy to answer questions from the committee, and I will have more specific examples when we discuss the fiscal note.
Thank you, Ms. Lewis. I would like to point out for those that might be listening online or following us on the internet that the presentation is available in Senate Finance. It's titled HB 215 DHSS : Public Health Fees. It was provided by the Alaska Division of Public Health. It is the opening page. Senator Machicki.
Just a quick question for you, Ms. Lewis. Tell me about how successful sliding fee schedules are. Is that a significant administrative burden, or do you sort of get to know your clients to the point of where there's it's executable in a reasonable manner?
The place where we use the sliding fee scale the most is in our public health nursing centers, our public health centers across the state. Every client that comes in fills out some information for part of their patient file, which includes some information about their income so we can determine where they fit in the sliding fee scale. The scale itself is set into law in our regulations. Because it's become part of the way we do handle every client who comes in, I would say the burden is minimized that way. It's a very standardized process for us. But it is a manual process.
Follow-up, Senator Machicki?
I'm just curious, is it the honor system largely, or is there any documentation required for income?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, I would have to say it's more the honor system. We don't ask for documentation. People come in and provide that information voluntarily. It's ranges. It's not really because we see we turn no one away for an inability to pay. It's remarkable how many people are quite forthright about it, and also how many people pay the amount that we ask them to pay for the services, and how many of them are able to pay that. We recover well more than 85 or 90% of what we bill, which is a pretty high rate.
Thank you.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. So one of the questions I have is, the data that we are referring to, is this data that you already collect, or is this sort of like whole new data sets, almost like borderline research agreements?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, these really are targeting the data sets that we already collect. Most of the time, for the data that we collect, we have the capacity to analyze that data, maybe produce statewide results, maybe some stock reports that can be distributed, but we're often asked to go above and beyond that, where a particular community or a school district or an organization, a hospital, might ask us to do some special research, and that's kind of what we're thinking is appropriate for a reasonable fee. We make the data sets available as is reasonable under, you know, state privacy and confidentiality laws for folks to use if they wanted to use a consultant. They're perfectly willing to, we're perfectly willing to work with them on that as well.
Senator Von Imhoff, follow up.
Thank you. So you mentioned early in your response is that oftentimes it's data that you already collect. So I look at that as raw data, but then you talked about analysis and or potentially reporting. So if a person asked for the raw data that you already collect, I'm assuming that you are capable of peeling out the pieces that they specifically asked for, because I know that HESS collects an enormous amount of data. And so if they just ask for the raw data, how will that be charged, or I guess charged for a fee, versus analysis versus reporting? Are these different tiers that we're looking at? Because you know, perhaps people may want to do the analysis on their own.
Ms. Lewis.
Thank you very much for that question. Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, the fee structure for every different type of service that we provide is going to be a little bit different. It may even vary between different data sets, and we may do different fee schedules for those. I would say, in general, if you're looking at raw data, most likely it is going to be based on some sort of record count or size of the file. That's pretty typical. If we're being asked to do analysis that maybe just results in tables but doesn't come with full, you know, written reports that are 20, 30 pages long, and but is just more some tables and charts, those kind of things would probably be costed at an hourly rate we won't know until we actually have the public meetings, so I can't be too specific, but I envision that there is a certain amount that we would structure it so that we could do something where we would say, okay, you know, if the request is going to be a two-hour request, we can cover that, but if you want something that's going to take 6 hours or more, then we're going to need to charge a fee. So it would be on a case-by-case basis, but the structure would be a combination like that.
Other questions from committee members? With that, I don't see anyone in the room, so if you would stay at the table. Normally when we open the public hearing, I like folks to leave the microphone, just because sometimes if there's someone shy in the audience, they wouldn't approach if there are people sitting in the chairs or even on one chair. But I believe our guest today does not want to testify in this bill in the audience. That was you, Royce.
Thank you, Royce.
Not to put you on the spot. I'd like to open the public hearing. on House Bill 215. It's an act relating to program receipts and relating to fees for services provided by the Department of Health and Social Services. Is there anyone wishing to testify on House Bill 215? Is there anyone off net or online? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. I'd like to direct committee's members' attention to the fiscal note and ask Ms. Lewis to walk us through the fiscal note.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman. There is one fiscal note for this bill. It is for the Department of Health and Social Services, for the Division of Public Health and the allocation of Public Health Administrative Services. The fiscal note has a decrement of $200,000 beginning in the second year for fiscal year 2020 and an increase of new general fund program receipts of $600,000 also beginning in year fiscal year 2020, which is a net of $400,000. That amount is the same in all of the out years. There is no appropriation requested for the first year. There are no positions requested. There's a change in revenues of new receipts coming in of $600,000 and designated general fund program receipts. We anticipate needing regulations, quite a few different regulations, actually, and hope to have some of those completed in July of 2019 to be able to begin charging some fees.
Ms. Lewis, is
pause there.
Well, I just wanted to, you're going to absorb the cost then of any regulations that need to be rewritten?
Madam Chair, yes, we do plan to do that. We hold public meetings all the time with our constituent groups and our stakeholders, and we don't see that as being a cost prohibitive function, even though we'll need quite a few.
Thank you. Please continue.
If there are no questions on the front page, I will kind of go over the narrative portion of the fiscal note, which explains a little bit more about how these particular numbers were developed and examples of the fees that we would look at implementing initially. The fees will be used to support our public health operations by placing them in the list of designated general fund program receipts. That really clarifies the legislative intent. In the narrative portion, there are four examples given for different types of fees, and I'll run through each one of those. The first one given is for registration, certification, and inspection of radiologic devices. We would like to hire a second radiologic health physicist in order to begin inspecting MRIs and CT machines, as well as ultraviolet devices and other radiologic devices. Currently, we have the statutory responsibility to inspect all radiologic devices that are used for diagnostic purposes, but we only have the authority to collect fees for x-rays, and so we can only afford the one technician, the one physicist, to do those inspections for x-rays, because we have no way to fund the second needed physicist, we do not currently inspect those machines. No other entity is inspecting those machines either. We feel that is a significant gap in our public health protections, and it is really important that we implement that.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you. I've just been dying, chomping at the bit, waiting for this one. So can you explain that a little bit more to me? You're doing the inspection just... you're not doing like... You don't go to Providence and do their inspection on their machines.
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, yes, our physicist spends an enormous amount of time on the road visiting All the different facilities, hospitals, clinics, doctor's offices, imaging centers, wherever these devices are. But right now, we are concentrating on the X-ray devices.
Follow up?
Senator Bishop.
So does a major hospital, if you can't get by there, I don't know if there's a set timeline or what have you, that these need to be annually calibrated, if you will, for lack of a better term, and to see if they're performing as advertised. Does a major hospital bring somebody, a third party, in to do it? Because it looks to me like there might be a little bit of a liability issue here for somebody that's got an X-ray machine if it's not calibrated annually or sent biannually according to Hoyle.
Ms. Lewis.
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, we definitely feel it's a public health, it's a gap in our public health coverage that we're not currently inspecting that. There are plenty of anecdotal stories about diagnostic machines that aren't properly calibrated or that procedures are not being properly followed. But all in all, facilities are making their very best effort to make sure that the machines that they use and the procedures that they follow are good practice and that everything is, being done to the best standards. But right now, there is no one who is able to verify that and to ensure that that is happening for the public safety.
Well, just Senator Bishop. Last thing, I have no problem with this at all. I mean, this imaging is a first line of defense, and we need to make sure it's operating as advertised, or it could get expensive downstream. So I think it's a good call.
Senator Bishop. Senator Machicki.
So thank you, Ms. Lewis. Today the department is inspecting, certifying, and registering X-ray devices. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, that's correct. We are doing X-ray machines.
So if this moves forward and you hire a technician, then they'll move to MRIs, CTs, and UV devices. And there's a fee for each inspection that covers the cost of that inspection?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, we would establish a fee. I expect that it would be along the lines of our current X-ray fee, which is a per-device type of a fee, per unit inspected. There's a fee to register the initial time, a fee to renew, and then there's, I think, some certification fees as well. They're fairly modest. The X-ray fee is $80 per X-ray tube. And the amount that we projected for this particular function that we would like to charge fees for is $100,000.
Thank you.
That would be spread out over all the facilities, all the devices. That represents the approximate cost of the second position and some travel.
Ms. Lewis, the only thing on this fiscal note is providing funding for an existing vacant position. Is that accurate?
Madam Chairman, that's correct. We are asking for the money to be applied to the personal services line, but in all the cases, we are talking about existing positions. In this case, it would be an existing vacant position that we would repurpose.
That has been a criticism spoken to in the general population, as they have spoken in the past before the Senate Finance Committee table, in that we should be eliminating all positions. There is a cost to placing positions in our system, and so some of them, as Senator Bishop has spoken about this at Senate Finance before, so we do have some FTEs that are unfilled on the books, and this is one of those that you would repurpose by charging a fee to be able to provide that service and then fill that position. Is that accurate, Ms. Lewis?
Thank you very much for that, Madam Chair. Public health has about 430 employees, and at any given time, We have turnover that generates 30 to 40 vacant positions that are current. And we evaluate all of those vacancies and prioritize them for whatever is our highest need at the time. And so it wouldn't necessarily be some long time vacant position that we've been holding on to as much as we would look at whatever the next available position was and decide, you know, what the highest need was for it and fill that position.
Thank you for that clarification. Senator Bishop.
I just want to reemphasize what you're saying. Senator McKinnon is just not speaking for her, but I am a little bit, and she can correct me if I'm wrong, but we're just talking about working smart with our people, right? Because there's a cost to if you have to bring a new PCN on, you know, so we're not, I don't think we're criticizing. I think we're just saying it's a good business practice. You want to keep some of those in the queue. You got a revolving door here a little bit with a churning of 30 employees inside that. So good on you.
I do want to do a shout out for those that are working in the public health field. I know that sometimes it can be a thankless job. Sometimes our state employees face very devastating personal circumstances inside of family units that they need to persevere through in a professional manner. And I just wanted to, for you, on behalf of the Senate Finance Committee, to convey our gratitude for the work that your team does in providing a resource for individuals across our state that need support in the public health arena. I do have a question, and it's probably not related to this bill, so I apologize both to the sponsor and to you, Ms. Lewis, but when we're talking about x-rays and technology that the state of Alaska is certifying, how does that or does it relate to the scans that people are subjected to by the federal government as they go in and out of airport facilities or other transit? So I've watched, I traveled to Juneau on occasion back and forth to do my job as a state senator, and I see that on occasion pilots and crews are let through and not exposed to the same procedure that many Alaskans are exposed to. And I'm wondering if the state, under this bill or not, if there's some way that we're verifying any kind of output from the machines that the federal government is employing to keep us safe as we travel.
Madam Chairman, we have no authority over the devices that are used in airports by the federal government.
Ms. Lewis, is there a way for public health to make an inquiry on behalf of the people of Alaska to see if those machines are audited and checked for any kind of output that might not be healthy for Alaskans?
Madam Chairman, I'd be glad to look into that and let you know.
Thank you. I'd be willing to co-sign a letter either to the federal delegation or to the appropriate authority that is managing the TSA. Again, not to be critical at all of the system, but to just make sure that the public health of Alaskans that are passing through these terminals and these devices are indeed safe, and that we're checking on a continuous basis to make sure that those devices are safe no matter how often you fly. Because I know specifically in travel to Juneau and back and forth, there are many people that are making repetitive trips through those machines. Thank you, Ms. Lewis. Other questions from committee members? Ms. Lewis, at another time, if I could get an update on the SHARP, the Supported Healthcare Access Through Loan Repayment Program, I would just personally like to understand how that system is functioning, any balances that are in there, delinquency rates, and how that program is working. Any other questions on the bill before us? With that, we have had a presentation, a sectional analysis. The fiscal note has been reviewed. The public hearing is open and closed. I would like amendments turned in to my staff no later than Thursday at 5 p.m. And with that, is there anything else to come before the committee? Thank you. On tomorrow morning's agenda at 9 a.m., we have SB 185, reemployment of retired teachers and administration. If there's support from the committee or additional information that is needed from the committee, I have not received any. So that will be up for a second conversation at the table. SB 193, medical assistant work requirement. HB 176, emergency medical transportation service payments. Anything else? Any comments? We're adjourned. We're back on the record. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I read from the wrong, unupdated memo, and I apologize to the general public. We are trying to get as many conversations back before this body as possible. And so at 9 a.m., we do have an adjusted agenda that is going out to the general public. SB 193, medical assistant work requirement, and HB 79 omnibus workers' compensation bill. We added for tomorrow morning SB 185, the reemployment of retired teachers, just for clarification on those statements. And then at 1:30, we hope to take up HB 110, massage therapist licensing exemptions, as well as HB 318, membership and extension board social worker exam, HB 323, extend the board of pharmacy. We have removed from our agenda, because we did not receive it from the other body, HB 299, which extended the alcohol beverage control board. Again, the bodies are working as quickly as they can to try to process important conversations for Alaskans to hear. So just want to keep everybody updated with what Senate Finance has proposed before us tomorrow. With that, we're adjourned.